Blog Talk Radio.
From there in the stilettos. That's not good. You're not supposed to do that. You know, the little kids say so. They can't say supposed to. They say opposed. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, I want to know, what in the stilettos, are you wearing pantsuits today?
Ginger! What? You know, you two are getting worse and worse as time goes on. And it's the beginning of the year. There's nowhere to go.
I'm sorry. Were we supposed to have reset it January? My bad.
Yes, yes.
My bad.
Oops, bad Ginger. How are you guys doing out there in the Twitterverse, the Facebook world?
You seem to be good.
Yeah,
I know over on the Flickr, my face is like on an air. Well, my digital face is on ad at the moment. I'm all like, oh, hey, look. that's my pixel face.
That's my pixel. Oh, look who's up with us again this morning. Hello, David.
Hello, David. How is you, David?
He wants some syrup on him. That's what it is.
We might be able to oblige that.
I told him that yesterday. He probably turned 5 shades of red.
He's so cute. We like you, David.
He missed all the fun last night. He was away, remember, right? When we were, you know, saying all those nice things to him. Wait a minute. I had to make sure that wasn't him on Skype. Okay, so.
That was me. I'll send you porn.
You stop sending me prawn.
Never.
During the show, no less.
You love it.
All right. We got lots of news. We're a little askew this morning, but just slightly, not completely.
Yes. I actually tried to watch through some of the CES stuff this morning.
I am avoiding CES like the plague. I can't do it. I can't. I really want to. I just can't. CES is just like it. Yeah. Oh, good. Here we go. Oh, by the way, Jay, boobs. Just in case.
Yeah.
You
boobs.
Are there.
Boobs.
So did you spend the? He gave us a smile. Did you spend the day scanning things?
Scanning things?
Yes, to see if...
Oh, crap. No. By the time I was done doing everything yesterday, my brain was fried, and I went and took a nap until the show. And I totally forgot about it. But I did try to figure out whether or not I was part of the SOPA supporters. And so far, I'm finding nothing about it.
Still unclear, huh?
Unclear.
Second Life, we find out you with SOPA, it's going to hurt me.
It is so
It's going to really hurt me, but I'm going to go. I'm going to cry for a few days, and then I'm going to find somewhere else to live virtually. So you better not be. That's what I feel like. You better
be so sad. It's going to be so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Well, I've got some good news.
You do?
Yeah. There is a virtual march going on right now, which is kind of cool.
Ooh. Where can we join?
I'm sorry. It doesn't start till February 2nd.
Okay.
GamePolitics.com has a story up, a virtual march to stop bullying worldwide. I don't know if this will work, but I like the idea that they're getting the word out that this is not acceptable.
I would prefer it be real people. I prefer it be real bodies in this instance. This is not one of those virtual things. Now, the SOPA virtual march, because we should march over to, you know, one of our congressmen's websites and then crash it by due to sheer traffic. Yeah, that's a good, but this right here, I don't know.
All right, so on February 2nd, a virtual army will descend on the United Nations headquarters to protest against bullying. The protest will be virtual. In other words, no one is actually going to the real headquarters of the UN in New York. The protest is being put together by the UK not-for-profit group BeatBullying.org and will take place on online February 2nd using cute and adorable avatars. Oh, my God. All right, so Richard Piggin, deputy CEO of the group, recently sat down with Fast Company to explain why they are doing their protesting in the virtual world as opposed to the real world. Piggin says it's a march for the 21st century. If you're 6 years old, you can join. If you're 80 years old, you can join. If you're in India, you can make your presence felt. It doesn't matter where you are. This captures the imagination of a lot of people.
Yeah, but 6 year olds aren't usually allowed to be all free and willy nilly on the internet, which is what causes the bullying in the first place.
Yes,
because they're not supposed to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm gonna need y'all to rethink that. That's not a good.
Yeah. All right, well, if you are somebody who wants to have your voice heard with this, if you just want to read more about it, again, like I said, it's beatbullying.org. I don't know what to think about it.
I don't want to be negative because I know they're trying to do something.
Yeah.
But I'm not, it's not going.
I think maybe if they held both a virtual and a real world one.
At the same time would be good.
Yes.
This requires a double presence.
Yes.
Well, the SOPA protesting continues.
Uh-oh.
Community news sharing site Reddit is planning to shut down its website January 18th in protest of proposed legislation of the Online Privacy Act, SOPA, as well as the Personal Information Protection Act, also called PIPA. No, not PIPA, the princess's sister, PIPA. So the community announced via their blog post just this morning that they were going to be doing this. SOPA gives both the U.S. government and copyright holders the authority to seek court orders against websites associated with infringing, pirating, and or counterfeiting intellectual property. Should SOPA or PIPA pass, it could drastically change the way the Internet operates. For instance, if a website is accused of containing copyright-infringing content, such as a song, picture, or video clip, the site could be blocked by ISPs, de-indexed from search engines, and even prevented from doing business online. Reddit's blackout will run from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and coincide with the January 18th Congressional Committee hearing to hear opinions from many web security experts and tech industry leaders about the impact SOPA and PIPA could have. One of the seven people who testified at the hearing is Reddit founder Alex Ohanian. Oh, we should call him Alex Ohotness because he's going to testify, that's why. As VentureBeat has previously reported, he says, we wouldn't do this if we didn't believe this legislation and the forces behind it were a serious threat to Reddit and the Internet as we know it. The Reddit team wrote in their blog post, blacking out Reddit is a hard choice, but we feel focusing on a day of action is the best way we can amplify the voice of the community. During the blackout period, Reddit will display a simple message about how the proposed legislation would eliminate sites like Reddit, as well as a list of links pointing to resources about SOPA/PIPA. The team also plans on embedding a live stream of the House committee hearing to raise awareness. Thank you, Reddit. The blackout is definitely a bold move for Reddit, but the site's organized protest is very significant. The company recently reported that it brings in over 2.6 billion page views. That's around 36,879,881 unique users to them, to their site per month. That is a search engine marketing campaign or an advertising partnership or spending any money on outside promotion marketing from other places like text banner ads, commercials, and we need to talk to them. Reddit community members are also responsible for orchestrating the boycott against domain regular GoDaddy for its support of SOPA, which resulted in lots of bad press for the company, a mass exodus of customers to other domain registers. We're in the process of doing the same, and forced apology renouncement of SOPA by GoDaddy's executive team. It's not going to help you now. It's too late. With a little over a week away, it's possible other social networks will join Edit to Blackout on January 18th. While nothing official has been announced, there have been rumblings that Google, Twitter, and Facebook are also planning collective protest efforts against SOPA and PIPA. You know what? I think all of you guys should just black the hell out. Just do it. Google, turn off. Facebook, turn off. Even Twitter, just shut it down. We'll all be dying, but I can get behind you on that. Let's make this serious. Because a lot of these people use Twitter, though there's, trying to say, oh, we don't, nothing will be affected, and you guys have no voice. This is where the voice comes in. Take it down, y'all. Take the YouTube down, just all of it, because that's what will happen if this goes through. Just take it down. I hope. Please do it. Just one day. It's okay.
Yes,
one day.
Yes, yes. Just one day. We'll live. We'll live.
Or 12 hours like they're doing from 8 to 8 would be good. And I will live.
Yes.
I got my Xbox. Xbox Live, shut it down. PSN, just shut it down. We may, nobody may not be using your little network, but just shut it down. You can't buy anything from your network.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. See what you do then, little congressman, when you get home and your kids can't play the game so you can be left alone.
Oh, you're going to be in trouble. Oh, that'd be a big no-no. That'd be a big no-no. All right, what do we got? No PlayStation 4 at E3, says Sony.
What?
Uh-huh. I am pulling this from the Yahoo Tech section. Rumors of the PlayStation 4's imminent arrival have been greatly exaggerated, according to Sony. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Sony reps denied rumors that the company was planning to reveal the PlayStation 4 during the upcoming E3 trade show. In fact, the company is still planning to stick by its vision of the PlayStation 3, which was released in 2006, as a product with a 10-year life cycle. Sony, I don't know about this. After your last year, I don't know. Cause Harai says, we are not making any announcements at E3. I've always said a 10-year life cycle for PS3, and there's no reason to go away from that. No, of course not. PSN Ocalypse never happened. While some might lament the lack of news about the PlayStation 4, it's not entirely unexpected, especially with the PlayStation 3 finally beginning to gain momentum due to its high-end graphics capabilities and other features that were ahead of the curve when it was first released. I don't know about the Sony.
Wait, not to derail the Sony story, but Jay just tweeted to us.
Oh my God, Jay, what'd you say?
Go and look at this that he gave it. I don't know if that's love or malice. What is it? Because yeah, we are hungry.
Oh no!
Look at the note at the bottom. Once you get to the picture.
Hold on, it.
Jay's just still loading. That's evil.
Aww. I love you, Jay. That is evil, though. That is so evil.
Good thing I don't eat ham, and I recognize the swine when I see it. You eat swine, sir.
Yeah, I don't eat the ham either, but there's some bacon on there. That's some cheese.
Is it turkey bacon? I see some chicken.
Onion.
Look, I'm all tilting my head to the side looking. Is that turkey and chicken I see there?
And that, see, that's the good lettuce right there, too. That's not
yes,
that
looks
lettuce.
Yes. Is that a red onion there I see?
Mm-hmm, that is a red onion.
People are like, what are they talking about? Well, you'd be following us on Twitter, then you could see this is much Jay.
Jay, I hate you. I hate you, Jay. I hate you. So hard. That's not even right.
Aw.
Wait a minute, Jay. Do you have a picture of Justin Bieber? Oh, my God. Why do you have a Justin Bieber picture up on your thing?
Oh, you got called out.
Brush Buddies, Justin Bieber singing Toothbrush. Is this what you wanted for Christmas, Jay?
I'm going to back away. My hand's in the air. my business. Yes.
All right. Okay,
I'm sorry, continue. But what was going on with PlayStation? We're not getting a new PlayStation anytime soon.
Not getting a new PlayStation. Kazrai says no. Says nuh-uh. Says the PlayStation 3 should have a 10-year lifespan. It was out in 2006, so we've still got a couple of years before we're going to see another one, is his word.
Mm.
I'm saying this may not be Sony's best idea, but, I guess we'll see.
On one hand, I could be thinking it's good, but on the other hand, you know there's a new Xbox coming, and you know there's a new Wii coming, and then you're going to be late getting yours out, and you're probably not going to do it as well as they do. They're going to eat.
Uh-huh. And you already hurt so many of your players this year.
Mm.
I'm telling you, I don't think I want to go out and buy a PS3 after the PSN Ocalypse. Just saying.
And I look at mine like it has the plague. I actually was circling this morning going, you know what? I don't like you. I just don't like you. I was looking at this one. I just don't like you. I don't know why I don't like you. You're dusty. My other consoles, they're clean. My Wii, spotless. The Xbox, spotless. It's dust on the PlayStation 3. I just look at it. I push it with my finger all angry. Evil. So, yeah.
Evil.
I don't like you. I don't like you. Okay. Moving along, because now Jay's made us hungry. The government, the UK government more specifically, is expecting to announce scrapping of classes in school this September to be replaced with computer science and programming lessons. Oh, remember we told you they were going to do this. Yeah, they're serious business over there. Michael Gove, the Security of State for Education, will call current ICT lessons, or he does call them, lifeless and dull, and state that the new curriculum will enable young people to gain skills that will enable them to work at the forefront of the technological change. This is according to a report by the BBC. GI.biz is quoting Gove as saying, imagine the dramatic change, which would be possible in just a few years once we remove the roadblock of the existing ICT curriculum. Gove will tell the BET show for Educational Technology Today in London. He said, instead of children bored out of their minds being taught how to use Word or Excel by bored teachers, we could have 11-year-olds able to write simple 2D computer animations, which would be all kinds of hotness. That's what they should be doing. The news will be gratefully received by video game and creative industries, which are campaigning to bring programming back to the curriculum. Eidos Life president Ian Livingstone, who is gorgeous as well, who has been aiding Gove, love his name too, and co-authored the Next Gen report highlighting the changes to be made to put the UK back at the center of digital and technological innovation, added that children are being forced to learn how to use applications rather than make them. They're becoming slaves to the user interface and are totally bored by it. Michael Gove's written menstrual statement is reprinted in full over at GI.biz if you want to take a look at it. So I think this is a very good move, Ginger. Very good move.
Very.
Indeed. We need to follow suit over this side of the pond, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. I'm sorry, I'm sitting here trying to look, trying to figure out the story and thinking, oh, my head hurts.
Poor Ginger.
Yes, I ran. You people, but I ran. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Uh-oh, what they do?
Iran says U.S. video games are CIA propaganda.
Really? I didn't know this.
Yes. All right, so they're saying U.S. video games are part of a propaganda campaign to indoctrinate Iranian youth. Amir, you know what? Whoever this guy is, Amir Mizrahi Hekamati, a former U.S. Marine with Iranian heritage, was arrested as an American spy on a visit to Iran's capital last August. Apparently, Hekamati confessed to being a spy in a video and was sentenced to death by Iranian officials. Yes, torture will do that to you. Hekamati allegedly said in a confessional that he worked for DARPA, the R&D wing of the Department of Defense, after serving in the Marine Corps.
Wow.
Yeah. He said in the video he was hired by Kuma, a video game design company. Kuma makes a number of different types of games, including a series of war on terror titles such as Kuma War. The games are released in small episodes featuring reenactment of real-world battles in countries such as Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya. I'm going to lose my voice. The games also let players jump into hypothetical what-if simulations, including a theoretical U.S. invasion of Iran. So Hekmati's confessional allegedly called Kuma Games a front for the U.S. government, funded by the CIA with the objective of convincing the people of the world in Iraq that the U.S., or sorry, that what the U.S. does in Iraq and other countries is good and acceptable. The games were to be developed and distributed to young people across the Middle East in a digital propaganda effort to win their support for U.S. campaigns abroad.
You know what? I want to say that's just preposterous, but who knows?
and they're using the story even goes on to mention America's army and da 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 da. And it's kind of one of those, really, people? Really? I mean, I could see this happening, but as much as our government is all like, video games are evil and we want to ban them and da 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 da, I'm thinking not.
Well, you know, they said the perfect conspiracy is one you can't prove, so...
This is true. This is very true. I'm thinking the guy was probably tortured and said whatever he had to say or whatever he thought he needed to say. You know?
You know, I, and you know this, we have to be careful what we say here, okay, at this point. But having a mother in the military, I used to ask her questions about things, and I always got the vague answer. And I'll share this one with you. It was about zombies, ironically, because my mother was an aficionado of zombie movies as well. And one of the first movies I think came out was, it was something to do with the military, some drum that had some virus in it, and people got it and got sick, but it was from the military. And I said, Mommy, do they have something like that? Because it's little, by the way. I said, Mommy, do they have something like that? And she says, if they do, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very serious deadpan face, which is very unlike my mother. And then, you know, the subject was quickly changed. So I am not going to put it past them, coupled with the fact that a few years ago here in Houston, we had a guy that was killed on the freeway who kept telling the people, the law enforcement, not to shoot him, that he worked for the U.S. government and he was doing something, but they ended up killing him. And, of course, it got out to the media, and they were trying to investigate as to whether he really was who he was saying he was, but they could find no record of him anywhere. You know, we play the games, and it's like, you know, Sam Fisher, we disavow all knowledge of your existence if you get caught. It was really like that. I was like, oh, my God.
And it would not surprise me. It would not surprise me at all.
I'm not sure what's going on. All I got to say is if you're coming to get me, government, just if you're going to lock me in the basement, make sure I got internet and video games. I don't have to tell anybody where I am.
Exactly. I will happily stay in the little padded room as long as there's a computer I can play video games on.
I will play video games all day. Make sure I have lots of healthy things to eat. I am good. Go ahead, lock me up.
I promise never to say anything. I'll be the perfect little secret keeper.
As long as I got those games. I don't have those games. I'm hacking everything in here. See how that works? We can work together, government. We can work together.
We could.
I'm going to need the prototype for the Xbox 6, by the way, when you put me down there. Yes. We're going to come up missing one day, Ginger. If we come up missing, y'all know what happened to us, okay?
Yeah, we didn't do it, whatever it was.
It's my turn, isn't it, B?
It is your turn. Yes.
It B's my turn. What happened to my story? Oh, here we go. Well, this is not less spy-like. Who out there likes Digimon? Anybody like Digimon? Maybe you do. Joymax announced today that the anticipated addition of two new mercenary Digimon for their online massive multiplayer title Digimon Masters are released. Digimon Masters takes part in a fantastic universe where our world and the digital world are closer than anyone could have imagined, and it's about to change in ways never expected. Digimon Masters includes the story and a heightened sense of urgency found in Digimon anime. Now joining the cast of available trainers is the hotly anticipated duo of Kenan and Falcomon. Players who want to join in on the fun can sign up at the Joymax portal, which is joymax.com/portal. And that should be up on our site shortly. I'm looking for some screenshots for you guys. They keep saying they send them, but I don't see them. So what you can do is pop over to their Facebook. It's Digimon Masters. Or harass them on Twitter. Say Gamer Girls Radio said you didn't send good screenshots. it's D-Mojo. What? Good God. D-Mo. I don't know. D-Mo Joymax? There we go. D-Mo more Joymax. There you go. I hate when they come up with those crazy Twitter names and I have to try to break it down by the word. Stop it. Hello to other David from yesterday who said we ripped his Manu one about his game on the podcast. We still love you, and we need a code. Go ahead, send us a code. We love you. It was a love. It was a love tap.
Love tap. Fuck it.
I thought that was hilarious. We said that. We would give you a code, but you ripped us a new one on your podcast the other morning. I was like, oh, you were listening. Thank you. Now send a code, really.
We can't help it.
It was Ginger.
It might have been. I didn't say, but it was. All right. Okay, what have we got? There is a sale going on this week. There we go. We love some sales. Dungeon Defenders is 33% off as Xbox Live Arcade's Deal of the Week.
Ooh.
For those who have yet to experience the thrill that is Dungeon Defenders, and I've seen the screenshots, it's really pretty. One of the greatest genre mashups to date, the deal has gotten much sweeter on this tower defense RPG hybrid. Dungeon Defenders is now 33% off from January 10th to January 17th as Xbox Live Arcade's Deal of the Week. That's just 800 Microsoft points for hundreds of hours worth of Goblin Slaying loot raiding awesomeness.
You tell them, Ginger.
This deal is limited, so make sure to get your hands on this co-op madness while it lasts. Dungeon Defenders brings together the best elements of tower defense and action RPG progression in a fully 3D environment, spreading the four-play co-op mayhem out of
You said foreplay.
Yes. Foreplay. Actually, I said foreplayer, but, you know, we could have some foreplay later. So, 30 challenges, 4 difficulty settings, and all its loot, rating, spell casting, level up, stacking, glory. Players control one of the 4 distinct heroes, Squire, Apprentice, Huntress, and Monk, and an epic bid to fight back an ancient evil. Each character comes with distinct functionalities, and players can create and customize an armory of weapons and equipment. The campaign, whether with friends or solo, has tons and tons of gameplay with hundreds of loot drops, all upgradable and customizable, to make each character that much more distinct. All right, so if you want to check this out, over on GameMatrix.com this morning, I've got it up for you. There's even a launch trailer, so head over there, check it out. And
oh,
what game did we do our part?
Say again? Oh, I...
was it the Trailer Park King?
I can't remember. Oh, it's... Wow. I don't remember. Yeah.
It wasn't one of the virtual boyfriend games, was it?
Mm. Apparently GLaDOS is giving us love. GLaDOS, stop it.
GLaDOS, get up off me before I stab you in your face.
I love when she threatens to stab GLaDOS in the face.
In the face.
Will you... You know what? No, we can't say that during the day. Never mind. I'll say that for tomorrow night. She might be mad about last night because, yeah, last night we had some issues. She was like, no.
Mm-hmm. She was all up over us last night. Mm. Oh, not fun.
Well, got some information for you guys out there about Blizzard and Diablo 3.
Are they finally admitting to being hacked?
No, they'll never admit that. But they didn't confirm. A lot of you yesterday were going on about Diablo 3, blah, blah, blah. Blizzard community manager Mark Whipple was asked straight up on Twitter yesterday, can you confirm or deny Diablo 3 is coming to consoles? And he answered, yep. Josh Mosquera, who is the late lead designer for the Diablo console project, said it didn't look like what it meant. So he explained in Blizzard explained in a statement that Bashak's response on Twitter was intended as a confirmation that we are exploring the possibility of developing a console version of Diablo 3, and we've mentioned this in the past. He said this is not a confirmation that Diablo 3 is coming to any console platform. He said right now our focus is solely on the PC Mac version of Diablo 3 and making sure it's worthwhile. It's a worthwhile successor to the Diablo series. And then Mark, of course, went back and recanted. Yep, wasn't meant as an announcement. We're still exploring console version, but more importantly, working on the PC Mac version. So Blizzard prefers to announce a game when there's something solid to show and to demonstrate. If you remember back when they did the Blizzard Worldwide Invitational in 2008 and the Diablo 3 announcement, they showed a nice cinematic trailer, a long gameplay video, and screenshots, and not simply served as a teasing announcement. Blizzard was only spotted advertising for console team in late 2010, just a few weeks ago. Is there really a Diablo 3 console project up and running? Nobody knows. I would dare to say I probably would not want to play it on a console. That's just me.
Yeah, probably not so much.
It would have to be completely reworked. It can be in its present form on a console, let's put it that way. You guys know the top-down three-quarter view business, no.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to cough my head off this morning, people. So y'all
oh, no, horse infected.
Oh, no, poor horse.
He's got the umbrella on his avatar. Horse is infected. Shoot him.
Shoot him.
Shoot, decapitate, fire. We know how to handle you, horse.
All right. Y'all are going to have to bear with me because this one's kind of making my head going to go. Like, all squishy.
Ew.
Chickens Can't Fly by Amuse Sloth is a Windows Phone must-have game. At CES 2012 today, Microsoft just announced their new promotion for Windows Phone games called Must-Have Games, and we're extremely glad to announce that Chickens Can't Fly is part of it. Alright, so Chickens Can't Fly is set to launch early February 2012, and we're really excited to show you the final version of the game. Some of the things you'll get in the game is you can play across 5 laboratories, hatchery, butchery, cemetery, military, and physics. Each laboratory has its own set of obstacles, power-ups, and power-downs. Over 50 experiments, varied objectives, and play styles. Survival mode with classic CCD experience streamlined, expanded, and improved, available for each laboratory. Xbox Live achievements and leaderboards. Global weekly challenge. Play the same level as everyone in the world and see how you rank up on the leaderboards. And other features like ringtones, live tiles, and fast app switching. All right, so there is a trailer, and I'm going to have it up on GameNatrix.com in just a couple of minutes. So hang around and check that out. Chickens can't fly. I don't know about this. And Corey's all quiet. So
that will be Corey, because I'm muted.
Hands above the desk, Corey. Both hands on the keyboard.
About chickens? Oh, please. About chickens? Never.
Well, Eurogamer is reporting something that's probably going to piss a lot of you out there. Sometimes nowhere in EA, you should just keep the mouth shut, really. They are reported as saying most Star Wars The Old Republic players aren't really having performance concerns. This is from the game's director, James Olin. He's estimated that around 5% of the MMO's million-plus player base had problems. These problems began plummeting Star Wars The Old Republic frame rates, as reported early in the week. Olin said that these problems were often related to gamers with low-end PCs. Eyebrow raised, right? His response came when asked whether there was a deeper Star Wars The Old Republic performance problem than BioWare was letting on. So far, BioWare has been content to issue a stock workaround each time low frame rates are questioned on the Star Wars The Old Republic forum. He said the thing is, for the most part, 95%, oh, I can't give you the exact percentage, most of our players aren't really having performance concerns, James Olin told the Eurogamer. However, we know that it's important that there is a small group of people usually with lower-end machines that are having problems in some areas. One of the most important things for us to grow our service is to continue to bring in more players, including those who only have low-end machines. So we have a client team and a team of programmers whose entire job is to optimize the code, find out where some of the issues are, and then fix that up. Most of the performance issues are localized, though, he said. There are things that we can track down. I would call them bugs. BioWare has been speedily rolling out bug fixes for Star Wars The Old Republic since launch. These hot fixes will often be separate to content patches, which will take weeks to assemble. I don't think that's the case. Wasn't Snow saying she had a couple of issues, and she's got a brand new lovely...
Yes, she's got a brand new...
Monster, her and monster.
...big-ass computer that I want.
Yeah, so I don't know that this is true.
I can't really say. I mean, I played the beta and I didn't have any issue, but
yeah.
So again, there are a lot of people who don't update your computers enough. So yeah,
it could be updates. It actually could be their code. We know how EA is with the putting stuff on that you don't need. And
Yeah,
I personally think if they had not decided to shoot themselves in the foot with Origin and said, you know, we're going to have our own service, but we're going to keep our stuff elsewhere too, they could have gone to OnLive and said, you know what, those of you who have low-end computers, you can play this way via OnLive. Just saying.
Yeah.
But you have no cloud-based anything, so players have to lower-end computer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they, you know, I don't even know why I'm going to ask why. It's about the money. You guys are greedy.
Yes, they are. They're very, 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 very greedy.
Greedy bastages.
Greedy bastages. All right. I am going to end up losing my voice. This is just all there is to it. Stupid weather.
Yes, I'm right there with you. Every time I keep muting it, I'm...
yes. All right. CES, of course, is going on, so we're hearing a lot about all kinds of different accessories. So you're going to hear about a lot of different accessories. Mad Cat announces new range of Street Fighter X Tekken fighting game controllers. Oh, wait. Are they SOPA supporters?
Street Fighter is, so we can't, you know.
Oh, never mind.
Association. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Okay, here we go with a different one.
In
Novus Prime Vindication for PlayStation Home. Newest expansion delivers more player ranks, rewards, missions, and challenges than ever before. Hellfire Games, which is located in Austin, Texas, by the way, is proud to release Novus Prime Vindication, the studio's newest expansion for Novus Prime, the premier sci-fi multiplayer combat experience in PlayStation Home for the PlayStation 3 system. Novus Prime Vindication launches in all regions on January 11th, 2012. So this is North America, Europe, Asia, and Japan. See, you know what? The small place can do it. They can do it all at once. Why can't you bigger companies do it all at once? Anyway, Earthseed is once again under attack from the relentless bot horde. Only with the help of the Ascidians, a mysterious alien race with incredible technology, can players defeat the bots and emerge victorious. Novus Prime Vindication adds all new player ranks, rewards, ships, weapons, virtual items, and challenging new missions to the Novus Prime universe. The expansion also introduces the new playable Obsidian race, as well as master versions of every mission, sure to test even the most seasoned aces. Jeff Posey, president of Hellfire Games, says, "This is the expansion our players have been asking for. Novus Prime Vindication delivers the top request from our community, as well as give surprises to keep players on their toes. We think it's our best update so far and a great way to kick off 2012 with PlayStation Home." Hellfire Games recently celebrated Novus Prime's one-year anniversary since joining PlayStation Home in December 2010, having received over 1 million visitors in 2011. Novus Prime allows players to take on the treacherous bots in multiplayer space combat, purchase and upgrade their own ships, unlock new outfits and avatar items, compete for the top of the leaderboard, and experience an epic sci-fi adventure like no other in PlayStation Home. Novus Prime is, of course, we love this word, free to play. It requires only a PlayStation 3 system and an internet connection.
Yay.
Hey. All right, so they say with more rewarding content than ever before, there's never been a better time to join the fight against the bot armada. Join the Novus Prime community today with your free code for a personal lighting shield avatar over at facebook.com/NovusPrime. All right, and I've got this up on GamingAtrix.com this morning, so go over there and check that out.
Okay, I got two good ones, if Ginger will allow. I want to highlight this for our gamer parents out there. Moonbot Studios is unveiling The Numberless, which is an epic interactive storybook app for children of all ages. This is out of Shreveport, Louisiana. Yes, we said down south. We like you too. The next epic adventure from Moonbot Studios, The Numberless. Did I say that right? I said list a minute ago. The Numberless is available today on the App Store for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. You forgot about Droid.
Good.
It's featuring a black and white aesthetic inspired by Fritz Lang's silent film Metropolis. The interactive storybook app offers a unique cinematic experience and innovative gameplay to engage users in imaginative interactive stories about the origins of the alphabet. Nice, right? In a stylistic approach reminiscent of Lang's groundbreaking science fiction classic, The Numberless imagines a time when there was no alphabet, only numbers. This wondrous new app is an interactive adventure that follows five unique friends who set out to create a world filled with letters and require help from the user to achieve their goal. Oh, God, the weather. This is horrible. With more than 18 inventive games, the app promises to entertain, amaze, and educate children of all ages. The Numberless translates the story of Metropolis for a kids' audience, said William Joyce, managing creator, a creative partner of Moonbot Studios. The app is a sci-fi adventure combined with a tongue-in-cheek story about the creation of the alphabet. With our first storybook app, The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore, that's a long title, right? We combined Buster Keaton and The Wizard of Oz with favorite MGM musicals, said Brian Oldenburg, the Numberless co-director and creative partner with The Numberless, who decided to mix science fiction epics of the past, The Marx Brothers, with a dash of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You can follow the rest of this up on our website here shortly, but I will tell you this much right now. It's about $5.99 from the App Store on iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch. I like this idea. This is what keeps the little peoples interested. And I'm actually interested because I don't know the origins of the alphabet. Do you, Ginger?
Nah. No. Mm-hmm. Not a clue.
Oh, God. I got three good ones here.
You got what?
I got three good ones. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
There's a whole bunch that came in like right together, but they're good,
All
right. So those of you who are looking forward to Kingdoms of Almar Reckoning, which I'm trying to look away from, but it is just really drawing me in. It looks like it's a mix of Fable and Dragon Age together, which and it's not Skyrim either. It's maybe got a little dash of Skyrim in, but ooh, delicious. But anyway, there's a demo that is going to be available for the on the 17th of January, and also for the PlayStation 3 and the PC. We'll give you a little bit of a taste of the rich, diverse action-packed world of Almar. We'll also unlock some special items for you guys in the final game, and that's all I'm going to tell you about that. You can read that, the rest of that up on our site as well. But I got to do this one before we have to go to break.
Okay.
You people that cheat at the social games.
Uh-oh.
It
Why
says,
would you do that?
Wait. It says you are 3 times more likely to be dishonest in real life.
Yeah, all right. I can totally buy that.
PopCap Games, maker of the world's most popular video games today, unveiled the results of a survey exploring the habits of more than 10 million of you who cheated social games in the U.S. and the U.K. According to the survey, more than 1,200 of you adult peoples, nearly half, 48% of people who admit to cheating in social games, also admit to cheating in real life. Compared to 16% of those who don't cheat in social games, from stealing hotel towels to cheating on their taxes, social game cheaters are nearly 3.5 times as likely to be dishonest in the real world than non-cheaters. The full report, which was conducted by Information Studio Solutions Group, is available for download over at PopCap. Maybe we'll grab it and make it available for download. I got to read the rest of this. The report also discovered that 118 million people regularly play social games in the U.S. and U.K., and of those, 11% of the people who play social games in the U.K. cheat, compared to 7% of U.S. players who cheat. The report also found that although the number of women playing social games outpaces men by 55 to 45%, men are more likely to cheat in the social games than women.
This does not surprise me because, men are not exactly very patient from my experience.
In addition, 72% of you cheaters are under the age of 40. Yes, there's some great key findings which we'll post up here probably shortly after we do the show. I love this report. We got to take us a break because we got mere minutes left. That is so
adorable. All right, when we come back, I've got bank mail and wire fraud.
Oh, why do you do that? You always do the juicy right before, don't you?
Well, they want to come back. They want to hear it.
Why would you do that? That's just mean.
Yeah, who said I was nice? Don't let the little voice scare you or scare you, confuse you.
Too bad, Ginger. Remember, you look like you're the evil girl. Yes, like when I turn my back, that's when you stab.
I will never end this mayhem. Oh no, you didn't. I'm a mercenary. You ain't got a prayer. You owe me.
You guys know where to find us, right?
Yes, David Andrews. Twitter. You know where to find us. Second Life, APB. Google Plus. Several other places, I'm sure.
That's right. Oh, wow, GLaDOS is having a good time.
Places you will not find us, anywhere that supports SOPA.
No SOPA! No SOPA!
No SOPA! I'm going to tattoo that across my boob.
I think you should.
Yeah. Alright, maybe not tattoo. Ride it with Mark.
You think that'll get attention?
Maybe.
Maybe I'll be fine. Think we can get soda joint?
I don't know. Now I'm wondering whether or not I can find red shoe polish and, do the no SOPA across my car window.
Oh! I'm just going to get He's got ideas.
What a fool. I hear those ideas.
You hear them?
All right, come on. Oh, no, you
didn't. That's dedicated to our SOPA folks. Okay, so we're about to go into the non-streaming portion of our show. You know how to hear that, don't you, Horace? You need to download it. You can come right here to the site and listen, or write to GamerGirlsRadio.com and just listen. You'll hear the whole thing. You don't have to download it if you don't want to, but we prefer you download it. Take us with you. We like to be paraded about.
If you have an Android, go on the Android App Store. There is a Blog Talk Radio app.
You found it?
Yes.
I'm gonna need that.
I
can
it.
Do that while I work out. Yeah, I have to listen to it while I work out. We're much funnier when I listen to it.
Yeah,
it's much funnier when I listen to it later than when we're actually doing the show.
I get on the treadmill and I listen to us.
Yes.
I go, oh my God, voice sounds like a little kid.
But you're an adorable little kid.
I'm a 30-year-old little kid.
But she's so cute. She's a ponytail.
Yes. I think if I go do that job today, I'm going to wear my pigtails.
You got to take a picture for me.
Yes.
Okay. Share, Ginger. What you got?
All right. Game developer pleads guilty to conspiracy to commit bank, mail, and wire fraud. I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com. On Monday, federal prosecutors announced that a Los Gatos, California game developer pled guilty to several charges, including conspiracy to commit mail fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and conspiracy to commit fraud. Speaking to the San Jose Mercury News, the former owner of the Ultracade Technologies said that some of what the government announced on Monday was inaccurate. Now, I'm pretty sure that the government was not inaccurate. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. All right, so 46-year-old David Foley said that he agreed to sell his company in 2005 to Global VR in San Jose. According to Foley, the deal worth $1.4 million in cash included a provision for Foley to join the company as its chief technology officer. U.S. Attorney Melinda Hagg said that after Foley took the job at Global VR, he continued to produce and sell game packs that could be loaded onto the Ultracade home arcade machine. Hagg said that this was illegal because Global VR had acquired all the rights to produce and sell the games. Yeah, that would be illegal. But Foley countered by saying that Global VR bought non-exclusive rights to the Ultracade, name, and not the position, ultimately backing out of the deal in January of 2006. He says, I felt if they're not going to go to the deal, I still need to make a living, says Foley. Foley also told the newspaper that he had been initially charged with 54 counts. Of
Adorable. 54
counts of counterfeiting, but agreed to plead out to conspiracy charges last week because of technically I was selling them as Ultracade products and Ultracade no longer existed. Foley added that he remained an employee of Global VR as chief technology officer even after the deal fell through, but was fired when they found out that he was selling the game packs. All right, so Mr. Foley, you said you had to continue to do this to make a living, but yet you were working for them? So you were getting a paycheck, a living, yes?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this leads us to the final charge, Foley caught to bank fraud. According to the prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office, Foley claimed that he was still employed at Global VR when he filed several loan applications, but before those loans closed escrow, he had been fired and never disclosed this fact to the bank. He claims he told his lender about it after it happened. He says, I want to make it clear that I accept responsibility for the things I did, but in the same breath, he says that the government's new releases misstate the facts contained in the plea agreement that he signed. Foley is currently free on $100,000 bond and will return for sentencing on April 30th. For all the crimes that he pled to, Foley could face a total maximum of 50 years in prison and $1.2 million in fines. All right. Mr. Foley, I'm going to go with and after reading the story, say that the government is right. You are wrong. You did a no-no. You're getting your pee-pee smacked, and you should just shut up and hire a lawyer.
You are guilty until proven innocent.
Yes. Maybe you can go to work for that company that works with, you know, that's the front for the government.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to need some way of making them like you.
Well, I must tell you about this one thing that's up at CES. Now, we don't know if they support soap, but we're going to assume they're not until we find out otherwise. But Razer has unmasked their new baby. It's called Project Fiona, and it's a PC gaming tablet.
Uh-huh.
It's on the floor at CES, so if you're out that way, go ahead and take a look at it. The specs are currently thin.
Oh, I saw a video on that this morning. Oh, that is so hot.
It is powered by an Intel Core i7 Ivy Bridge processor. Battery life wasn't mentioned. Insists that the tablet is capable of running current generation PC titles as well as any other titles built with touchscreen in mind. The developers won't have to modify their games to run on the device, but will have the option to include additional functionality should they desire to do so. According to Engadget, the hardware manufacturer hopes to launch it later this year, quarter three or four, at a price point, get this, below $1,000.
That is hot.
Okay, so while...
Who's left to have to sit in for this?
Ooh, yes, right? While multi-touch screens have become the de facto user interface for tablets, they are not the right interface for serious PC gaming, because I will tell you, GTA on the iPad is really... It's a little difficult to play because of the way you have to hold it. But this is actually, again, made for gaming, if you can manage to snag a picture. It actually has two handles on the side that act like controllers, and your screen is in the middle. So, in essence, it's a very large PlayStation Vita or 3DS, but I like it because it's a tablet that I can put my hands on the screen. Well, you could do the same thing with 3DS, but, I mean, you get what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll have some other tablet functionality for everyday use as well. They're saying both developers and gamers are going to love the new user interface that combines the best of a gamepad with a multi-touch screen and accelerometers for an all-new gaming experience on the go. So keep in mind, you'll be able to turn it and move it. You know, imagine, because I believe on the screen they have, it looks like, that's Assassin's Creed is what they showed off at CES. And imagine if part of your attack was having to move the tablet, you know, turn it or, you know, move back or... There's all kinds of cool things they could do with this. So I'm looking forward to it. And if it's below $1,000, gots to have it.
Yes.
Ooh, it's hot.
It is so hot.
Also, you guys out at CES, they got to see Jabberwocky. But why is CES trying to be E3? They're going a little overboard. We got choir singing the tweets from Microsoft. We got Grover on stage. Yes, Sesame Street's Grover. And
what?
Yeah, for Qualcomm, whoever was out for Qualcomm. I'm going to need y'all to stop.
Yeah.
E3 is the Vegas of, you know, the Vegas show of the gaming events. That's when you bring out your Jabberwockies and people like that. Because most of the people that are at CES are the hardcore gadget aficionados. They could care less. They don't even know who the Jabberwockies are. And if you don't know who the Jabberwockies are, go look them up on YouTube. They're one that America's Best Dancer thing or whatever it is on MTV, wherever the show was, they were the first ones to win, and nobody remembers anybody that came after them because they really are great, but nobody else cares. At E3, you might like it, depending on what it's used with. You know what would have been cool when they announced Assassin's Creed, when they done it at E3, if they had the Jabberwockies do the whole dance to the music, would have been excellent. Dress all of them up like, you know, Ezio and all of them, and have them, that would have been primo. That's what they're for. That's when you make the impact. But I don't understand why Qualcomm grabbed them. Qualcomm, do you even make cell phones anymore? Does anybody even care about you?
I'm going to go with no.
They used to do cell phones. I think they're doing chips or something like that for computer. Yeah, you really didn't need Jabberwockies. That was overkill.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, overkill. All right. What are... Snow may not like this one. I think Snow's kind of grumpy about this one.
Uh-oh.
But we'll see. Final Fantasy 13-2 playable demo out today, 2012, for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. All right. So Square Enix, let me go through all that. Today announces that a playable demo for Final Fantasy 13-2 is available from today. Didn't they already say that? Anyways, at Xbox Live Marketplace and PlayStation Network. The Final Fantasy 13-2 demo provides an excellent opportunity for players to try out the evolved battle system and fully explore an entire area of the game. We are very pleased to give our fans a chance to see the multitude of game improvements for themselves. This is coming out from Yoshinori Katase. Mr. Yoshi, hopefully, or Mr. I don't know. Anyways, hopefully this works better because, you know, your last Final Fantasy was kind of not so good. All right, so taking place in the Brescia ruins of the game, The playable demo for Final Fantasy 13-2 sees Noelle and Sarah pitted against a gigantic and powerful adversary called Atlas, who has mysteriously appeared due to an anomaly in time and space. The demo allows the players to experience many gameplay features and enhancements, including cinematic action sequences and battles and environments with multiple areas and paths to explore. The brand new monster recruitment system is also available, which allows the player to enlist defeated enemies into their party that can be developed and grown alongside the game's main protagonist. That's interesting. All right, so due for release across Europe and PAL territories on the 3rd of February 2012, Final Fantasy 13-2 is the sequel to Final Fantasy 13, which has shipped 6.2 million units worldwide since its release in March 2010.
Wow.
Yeah. The sequel has evolved beyond its predecessor with level design that encourages exploration, a new battle system allowing players to command monsters, and a variety of options that support multiple playthroughs. All right, so I think, again, this is only for Europe and PAL territories, apparently. It is age-rated PEGI 16. And it looks like when you go to buy it, it's £59.99, francs, lindens, cookies, whatever the little
seashells,
on
rupees.
It. Yes, yes. All right, so I've got this up on GameNatrix.com if you want to check it out.
All right, darlings. Well, Paradox Interactive got another good one for us today. I love them. I do.
We love us some Paradox. Yes, we do.
Loves you. Well, King Arthur, they got more information because, you know, it's due out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So saying, would you like a little more magic in your life?
Ooh.
Well, who doesn't? They've issued today their third entry in their in-depth series of feature articles for upcoming RTS RPG, King Arthur II, the role-playing war game. The latest entry to the series vividly details the use of magic and strategic locations while in battle. If you haven't been watching the trailers, pop by our channel. They are hilarious. The one we put up yesterday was hilarious. Because they have a great sense of humor over at Paradox. They say, getting down and dirty in the details, future heroes at time will finally get a thorough explanation of what they can expect on the battlefield, including the use of newly introduced magic shield, helping players fend off their opponent's magic attacks, and the use of strategic locations that, once captured, can bolster a player's defenses. The use of magic while in battle is also described intimately, detailing the types of magic available and how and when it can be cast. Fantastic set of trailers and things we have for you. Again, check our trailer list. You can also... Oh, wait a minute. Okay, yeah. If you pre-order, I had to make sure that was for you guys before I tell you. Ooh, sometimes we read stuff we're not supposed to share. You pre-order the game, which is at kingarthurii.com/buy. You can get access to the prologue chapter for free already. Some goodies. They're saying... I think that is the only goodie. Okay. In any case, you can enter the world of Britannia. King Arthur is now struggling to restore his ravaged lands and find the cure for his affliction, even if this means that he must send his armies into the most perilous battles of all times. They're saying lose yourself in a stunning story that unfolds over a huge 3D campaign map featuring nightly quests and other special events. Experience huge real-time battles featuring thousands of soldiers, flying fantasy monsters, and intense boss fights. Battle enemies which employ unique war tactics and cast fantastic spells. I believe, and I'm sorry that I can't tell you for sure, I believe we have a preview up for this for you already that Blaster did. If you go and you search King Arthur. Or it might be another one. We do a lot of stuff with Paradox Interactive, so I kind of roll them all together. And they do good games.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. They do some very good games.
So go over and check that out on our site. And I'm going to go find me a copy of this Project Fiona somewhere. Must be. Oh, we do. You know, I was talking with Ginger about this yesterday. We do still have a copy of the Guinness World Records 2012 to give away.
We do.
And we decided how, but we actually need to announce it. So let me get with Ginger after. Then we'll
All right.
Talk. And then we will decide when we're actually going to make you do this task. You have to find 5 runestones and meet the innkeeper.
Yes, like, yes. And I need 3 fragile harpy wings.
There you go.
Yes.
And a potion of mana.
Mm-hmm.
Of epic mana. Does that exist? Yeah. Is
I
there
don't know.
A, well, it does now. I need a potion.
I've got mana potion somewhere.
Is it in your bottomless bag that you carry on your...
No, I really do. I have a health potion and a mana potion. There we go. They're in my window.
Oh, yeah, you do. I forgot you sent me pictures.
Yep.
You know what? I liked that that was in... Have you seen the last Harry Potter? I'm about to ruin it for some people.
Yeah, I think I have.
Well, it's the first of the Deathlings. I don't know if J.K. Rowling ever played any MMOs, but Hermione's bag is the perfect homage to MMOs, whether they realize it or not. That she has everything in her little purse. It's a little, you know, clutch,
mm-hmm.
and she's reaching and pulling out all kinds of stuff, clothes and potions, and it's like she's got books. And then you hear a sound where there's like, boom, and he's like, "What is that? Is that? Oh, those are the books I brought. I think they fell over." And it's like, this is the perfect homage to MMO, the bottomless bag. You guys know if you play MMOs. Anyway, thought I'd throw that in. It's time for us to go now that I have given you my random craziness for the day.
It is time for us to go.
Oh, but we'll be back tomorrow night.
Yes, we will.
I'm going to go and kill myself playing some Just Dance 3. Hit me, baby, one more time. Why? Hard. Why am I playing it? Why?
I don't know.
Ginger, help me.
Because you... I don't know.
Because I...
But you're a glutton for punishment. There we go. That's what it is.
That is very, very true.
Mm-hmm. All right.
This next song is going out to Horace.
No time for goodbye, he said, as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal.